Good. All right. Well, I'm glad I could speak to you this morning about single attitudes. What we're doing this month is we're kind of looking at every stage of our lives that we will possibly go through. This week is really focused on kind of our lives as singles. While I'm going to focus a little bit on singles, it'll also be relevant to whatever stage of life that you're actually in. To give a little bit of background about myself, I was baptized in a campus ministry down in Champaign, Urbana, at University of Illinois. And then I went over into the singles ministry. It was kind of a challenging time for me because the singles ministry was pretty small. And so I was kind of like, you know, 1 foot in campus and 1 foot in singles. I know Chris can relate to that. And so I was trying to figure out where I belonged, right? Trying to find, you know, where I should be at and where I can be most used by God. And so that's kind of my transition into the singles ministry and the part of churches that you belong to. From there, then I went on a mission team to Springfield, Illinois, to help plant the church there. So that was kind of part of my single life, and it was awesome. It was a great experience. There was only two single guys there. The other one fell away, so it was just me and the single sisters. And so it was an interesting dynamic, but we had a lot of fun. So that's a little bit about me and my background. And what I want to share this morning is some points that I felt like really helped me out. And these points are points I think that'll help us all out. One of the points is that I felt really helped me as in the life of a single was being tight with God. I think that was huge because it grounded me. It kept me focused. You know, it's a transitional phase where you're coming out of college and you're trying to find a job. You're managing your own finances for the first time. You're thinking about, you know, am I going to meet somebody? Am I going to get married? I mean, there's a lot of things going on in your mind. And you're trying to find your identity, what you're going to do from here till you retire kind of thing. And I really felt like being tight with God was key to helping me maintain a holy perspective during that time. The other one was being content. And I'll talk more about this in detail, but being content was a challenge of mine. And I got some great help through the scriptures, through relationships in Springfield that really helped me to have a different perspective and a perspective that I could put my hope in, feel confident in. And it was a hope in God and His plan for my life. And then lastly, it was joy. This was more of a byproduct, I think, of being content and a byproduct of being tight with God. And it was prevalent because I'd have people come up to me. Maybe I was reaching out to someone at the bookstore and just sharing about my life and sharing about what I've learned about God. And she'd be like, man, you know, I came out because we're just so excited about it. I've never seen anybody so excited about it. But I remember I would go into my job that paid me as an architect at the time. I think it was like $25,000. Like, it was peanuts, like starving artist job. And so I'd go into work and I'd just be fired up. But it's because I had just an awesome prayer time. And I had a routine every morning and I go to this special place and it is my place. You know, a good friend of mine who led campus in Bloomington, Obi Mbatu, he had his special place, called it Mount Sinai. So I called this place my Mount Sinai. This is where I was going to go. This is where I was going to get ready for the day and get ready to go. So while I'm sharing this from my perspective, from my journey, apply this to where you're at in your stage of life, because it can really apply whether you're married, whether you're single or you're campus, or even if you're a teen. All of these will help greatly. My first point, and why I titled this Single Attitudes, is to be tight with God. My beatitude is, blessed are those that are tight with God, for they will soar. Turn with me to John 15, verse 5. so we've been talking about this a little bit recently. You know, we've been talked about, you know, Jesus being the vine and we're the branches. And we need to be connected. That we all have many talents. And we all are connected. There's no one part that's less important than the other. The eye can't say to the ear, I don't need you. Just like the ear can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And, you know, I really feel like as we go through our stages of life, and as we're even doing this through this month, you know, it really is a symbiotic relationship where you have campus pulling down to teens and lifting them up. You have singles pulling down to campus and pulling them up. You have marrieds pulling down to single and lifting them up. You have the older professionals pulling down to the younger marrieds who are just figuring stuff out for the first time and lifting them up. And that's the kind of relationships we have in the church here, and it's great. I know for Wendy and I, it's been a true blessing in helping us in our marriage, helping us in raising kids. We didn't know what we were doing. We're reading books. We're trying to get help from different couples. And in every stage, whether you're in campus, I know you guys get together. You guys are helping each other out. You guys have your own challenges. Singles, you too. You're getting with different people, getting a new perspective, trying to figure life out. That's what's great about the discipling relationships we have. In verse 5, John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So being tight with God is you can do nothing without him. The best you can do is most likely going to bring about not pleasant circumstances or pleasant results. The best you can do is not even close to what God can do through you. You know, one of the things that really helped me to be tight with God, as I mentioned earlier, was my prayer life. Every morning before I got up to work, I'd go to this bridge, and it was an abandoned road. And I'd drive down there, and there's this bridge, and it looked over on Springfield Lake, and then you had like these trees kind of coming over. It was just beautiful. I had a path. Like if I want to walk the path, I can walk the path. And I would just go out there and pray. You know, I had a lot of people help me to pray as well, which I think helped me to really grow closer to God. You know, when I first started praying, and they'd say, hey, all we're going to do is we're just going to praise God right now. I didn't know exactly what that meant. You know, I'd start saying, thank you, God, for this, and thank you, God, for that. I'm like, no, we're going to praise God right now. We're not going to thank God right now. We're going to pray. And I didn't know the difference. We're going to talk about how great he is, the great things he's done, creating the universe. Look at the mountains. You can tell this mountain to go here and go there, and he creates the birds. He creates the things that are of magnificent scale, and he creates the things that are microscopic, right? It's beyond our minds to really grasp how amazing he is. But it got me in the right spirit. You know, we've been talking about, and we've been reading through the Psalms. You know, you'll notice a pattern with David. He starts off and he's in angst, right? He's wrestling with some stuff. You ever wrestle with things? Wrestle with life? Wrestle with, oh, these finals, oh, this paper, oh, this job, right? Yeah, you wrestle with things in life. You're always wrestling with stuff, no matter which stage of life you're in. And as a single, I know I wrestle with a lot of stuff. I wrestle with my coworkers, my first time in a real job dealing with people like up close and having to work together. I wrestled with being anxious about finding someone to marry. I wrestled with, maybe materialism in my finances. First time I'm making more money than I did before, although it was, you know, I call it starving artist salary at $25,000. But I wrestled. So when I pray, it'd be like David. I'm sharing my concerns. I'm going to God. But by the end of it, he's bringing about a different perspective. He's bringing about a renewed mind. I'm thinking about it differently now. I'm thinking about, you know, my struggles with hoping that I find a wife to, you know what? I remember reading in Genesis that it says God will bring the woman to the man. And if I find somebody and maybe we're dating and she's not the right one, well, if God's saying he's going to bring the woman to the man, and he's going to bring me the right person, then that gives me a lot of hope. And that's how I felt when I started dating Wendy. Is I lived in Springfield at the time. She lived in Bloomington. And when I was first interested in her, when I first met her, there was other brothers I knew, you know, had her eye on her. And I was down in Springfield. And I'm like, you know, I can't control this situation. But it was probably good because I would have messed it up. Although I can't mess up God's plan. If it's God's plan, I'm going to not mess it up. And I definitely did some things that, looking back now, you would say, man, you totally messed that up, bro. You messed that up. But God had a plan. And that's what I put my hope in, was that God was going to be in control of who I was going to allow bring to me. And I felt comfort in that. I felt security in that. And it's a hard thing because there's a lot of emotions involved, right? A lot of emotions involved when you're talking about relationships. But it was through prayer that really helped me, and through reading the scriptures that helped me to have a right perspective. You know, it got me outward focused as well. You know, I was praying. I'm praying about other people, thinking about their needs. If I'm not praying and going through that process, then I would have to do it separately and just sit down and spend time thinking about other people's needs. You do that frequently? Is that on your calendar? I'm just going to sit down every week at 2 p.m. and I'm going to just think about everybody's needs. I know it's not on my calendar. My calendar gets filled and it just pushes stuff away, right? And it took me a while. It definitely, as a single, I was so unorganized. It was horrible. And it took me a lot of practice to get organized, get my calendar ready. When I say I'm going to be there at 5, that doesn't mean I'm leaving at 5 till. You know, what time do I need to leave by in order to get there on time? So it took a lot of discipline. But it was through praying that helped me to be more outward focused. To think about others' needs is more important than my own. Secondly, to be tight with God was my Bible study. You know, my Bible study initially, becoming a disciple, was more about me just learning. It was just soaking in. As a single, the ministry that I was at, it was more about how I can use the scriptures to be prepared when I meet somebody and they have a certain thing they're trying to work through in their life, that I can be prepared and equipped to help them. That I can give them a scripture that can be encouraging, that can lift them up, that can reveal God's glory through the words, that can enlighten them. So Bible study took on a new purpose, and that was to meet the needs of others. It also helped me to grow in my understanding of God's plan for my life. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I came across the scripture in Genesis when I was struggling with anxiety of, you know, are these other brothers going to, you know, start dating Wendy or not? And, you know, my head would just go crazy. But yeah, it's life. Satan wants to get in there and he wants us to be anxious. He wants us to be distracted. He wants us to just think about our needs and how we can fulfill them. And it also enabled me to teach others. You know, I was really struggling with, you know what, God, I want to meet somebody that I can show you to. You know, I hadn't met anybody yet, and I know God wants us to just focus on planting and watering. But for me, I was so performance-oriented that I focused too much on the fruit of it, not realizing the scripture also says that I'm the one that makes things grow. This is not your responsibility, Steve. You can't make this person grow. You can't make anybody grow. It's on them. Okay, but you can plant and water. And so my Bible study helped me to see how I can teach others when they had their needs and be able to guide them in the right direction. Now turn with me to Ephesians 3, verse 20. When you're tight with God, there's nothing you can't do. As a matter of fact, you'll do more than you thought imaginable. In Ephesians 3, verse 20, Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, not your power, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. My second point is, be content. Blessed are those that are content, for they will be filled. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 4. The Bible reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition," and here's the key part, "with thanksgiving." Now, a lot of times the things we pray for and we're anxious about it, we don't have a thankful spirit. We want this certain thing because we want this certain thing. We're not thankful for the things that we already have. We're not okay with being surrendered with, "Okay, God, this is the thing I really want. But you know what? If you feel like it's not something that's good for me, then I'm going to be okay with that." That's the kind of conversation you need to have with yourself to get you into a right spirit. Then it says, "Present your request to God." So after all that, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, then present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You ever feel like your heart and mind's just kind of stressed out whenever you're getting anxious about something? Yep, there you go, right here. You know, write down a list. You know, I was sharing my challenges about being anxious with a guy that was a mentor to me in Springfield. And he said, "You know what, Steve, just write down 100 things you're thankful for." I thought, well, that's interesting. How many things I'm thankful for? That was tough to do. I definitely challenge you to try that exercise. It's very hard to do. So I can't remember how many I wrote down. I wrote down as many as I could. But then what helped was whenever I was anxious, I would just stop and I'd think about those things I was thankful for. Just go back through the list. I'd carry it around with me. Just read down. "Yeah, thank for that. Yep, thank for that." And that would help. I really felt like when the scriptures say it's going to guard your hearts and your mind, I felt like that's what it did. It was great. And that's what the scriptures can do. When you're using the scriptures to guide you in life, it's going to protect you. It's going to give you what you need. To be content, I needed to be surrendered to God's plan. I needed to be surrendered to God's plan with who my spouse was going to be. I needed to not control it. I needed to not interfere. I needed to let God work. And that needed him to be clear. I need to be surrendered to God's plan in my career. You know, I started off as a building architect, and now I'm a software engineer. Would have never guessed. But it went through a transition of actually being a full-time professor at Robert Morris College, teaching architectural drafting and design. It was totally not my plan. That was totally God's plan. And God has truly blessed Wendy and I. It took being surrendered to God's plan in my current stage of life. You know, whatever stage you're in, if you're a teen, like, "Man, I can't wait till I'm on campus. Can't wait till I get out of the house and go to college." If you're in campus, "Man, I can't wait till I get that job. Can't wait till I graduate." You know, you're always looking back or looking forward. You're single. "Oh, man, I can't wait till I get married." You know, you're just always kind of looking ahead, looking back, never content, but we need to be surrendered. We don't know what God's plan is, but we know it's a good plan. But when we start allowing our own selfishness to get involved, we start to become ungrateful, and we start to get anxious, it's just going to consume us. And we'll just go down paths that's not God's path. It's not a path of joy. It's not a path of being spirit-filled. It's not a path of being effective and productive like we want to be. To help teach others about God, to be the glory of God to other people. And Philemon 4, or actually Philippians 4, if you can turn there. Verse 10. Philippians 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know it is to be in need. I know it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Like I mentioned before, we can't do anything without Him. We can, and we can do stuff, but we're kind of limited. When we're doing things through God and with God, we'll accomplish more than we can imagine. Your life will take shape in a way that you never expected. It will take you to places you never expected. I would have never thought I'd be end up in Michigan, but here I am. God's got a plan. Never thought I'd be living in Arizona for a few years. God had a plan. Never thought I'd be in Bloomington for 10 years. God had a plan. And He still has a plan. But it's about making the most of where we're at. It's about being grateful for where God has placed us in this part of our life. And lastly, be joyful. Blessed are those that serve, for their face will reflect the glory of God. Turn with me to Proverbs 15:13. You gotta like the Proverbs. You know, we were talking about the Proverbs recently for our family devotional. Just about what Proverbs are good for. Now, there's really good nuggets to like tips for life, you know, that come out of there. Some really good stuff. And here's one right here. This one is a reflection. You know, when you look at someone's face, and I look at the crowd, and then you look at your face, right? The Bible says, a happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. You know, I know the song leaders will appreciate this. I'm sure many times they're up here trying to fire us up and get us ready for worship, that they're looking out in the crowd and people are like, here I am to worship. And then people out there going, here I am to worship, you know. It's like totally not looking like they're ready to worship, right? But it's true. You know, when we come into Sunday service, a lot of times we bring stuff with us. It could be, you know, you had a fight with your roommate before you got here, or it could be that an argument with your spouse, or kids didn't want to get ready, or, you know, whatever it is. There's always something. You know, the traffic was horrible, or, you know, you slipped and fell on the way in. Whatever it is, right? We had a whole week before this that kind of wore us down, and that's why we need those daily times. That's why we need those prayer times. That's why we need that the Bible study to encourage us and lift us up and give us new perspective. But a happy heart makes the face cheerful. You know, what's your face like this morning? I hope it's cheerful. I hope it's joyful. I hope you're able to take advantage of what God brings, and the joy that He brings when you live a life according to His plan. You know, it takes discipline. It really does. You know, it took many years. You know, I've been a disciple since 1996. Just my second semester of my senior year. And it's been a journey. It's been a great journey, but it's been challenging too. But that's the life of, you know, fighting against your sinful nature. That's a life of continuing to believe. You know, I think the persistence aspect is probably the hardest part. You know, it's easy when you first become a disciple, fresh out of the water, and you're just fired up and ready to go. I remember as a campus student, there's nothing I wouldn't do. Oh, you want me to go there? I'll go there. You want me to go to India? Sure. You want me to go to China? Sure. Like, just tell me where to go. I'm there. I would say I was zeal without knowledge, unfortunately. But I was young, right? How can you know, I was young. But I had a lot of zeal. I had a lot of passion. And the thing is, you want to keep that up. And it's hard to keep that up as you get older. You tend to get more critical, more judgmental. You start, like, pinpointing stuff. And it's our nature. So it takes discipline. It takes being content, as I mentioned before. It takes an outward focus. You know, this joy, being joyful, felt, when I was a single, I was super joyful. Not the only time. I was super joyful as a camp. I'm super joyful as a husband. I love my kids. I love my wife. So at whatever stage of life you're in, it takes having an outward focus, because if we're not, we're going to be inward focused, I guarantee you. And that's not a joyful place. We can just pick ourselves apart. We can just see all the faults in our character. And then we can think negatively about ourselves, and we miss God's grace. It just steals our joy. God doesn't want that. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus. He wants you to be joyful. He's like, okay, don't worry about beating yourself up anymore. I've taken care of it. Right? You know, there's a fine line between being a Christian and not being a Christian. It's believing that God's plan is a good plan, and I want to follow that. Because if you're not following God's plan, you're following your plan, right? So am I going to follow my plan, or am I going to follow? That's it. It doesn't mean that you're going to sin less necessarily. Then why would God send Jesus die on the cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins? Right? We're still going to sin. But I know for me, that was a tough concept, because I was performance oriented, so I would still beat myself up. I wouldn't really understand grace well enough. And I would think that God wasn't happy with me if I wasn't performing. That's totally untrue. Totally untrue. Don't let Satan make you believe that. It's not. If you believe that God's plan is the best plan for your life, then you're on the right track. Stay on that path. Don't give up, and you'll get lots of joy. In conclusion, being single in God's kingdom is a blessed time. Being married in God's kingdom is a blessed time. Being campus is a blessed time. So it doesn't matter what stage of life we're in. It's a time to develop great disciplines that'll carry us forward in maturity in Christ. It's a time to be tight with the one leading you down an amazing journey. It's a time to be grateful and surrendered to God's will for your life. And it's a time to see how God can use you to reflect his glory. Amen. At this time, I'm going to pray for our communion. We're going to take communion. Then we'll have a closing song. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for who you are. That you care so much about us, just so small. We could look at ourselves as so insignificant compared to all that you've created, all that you know. You know the hairs on our head. You're very detailed, God. You care about every feeling we have. You have compassion for every feeling that we have. And I pray, God, that this morning you continue to stir up a fire in our hearts. I pray, Father, that you help us to see the need for you, that we can't do this on our own. We can't depend on our own strength. We're content. We're grateful for what you bless us with. We live in the United States. And Father, give us great joy. You teach us how to be disciplined. You teach us, Father, what it means to be content. You open our eyes to your scriptures. And Father, you speak to us when we pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. We wouldn't even be talking about this if it wasn't for your son, Jesus, who paid the ultimate sacrifice that allows us to not feel guilty about our sins. And we can lean on your grace. We can keep fighting. We can keep moving forward. Keep looking into your scriptures for more golden nuggets. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name.